You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is time for our final 2019-2020 Sacramento Kings performance evaluation featuring Vlade Divac and the entire Kings front office, plus the best game from the 2017-2018 Sacramento Kings season, all on today's Locked On Kings podcast presented by Built Bar. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings, your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season, all off season. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of the Sacramento Kings from January through December, this is the place for you, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I've been a Sacramento sports radio host for over the last 5 years. This was my sixth season covering the Kings as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. On today's show, like I mentioned, the finale of the performance evaluation, and this game today, the 2017-2018 number one game from that season, features an incredible performance by Vince Carter against the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James. If you were at this game, you know how special it was to Kings fans. It was certainly special to me being able to sit there and watch Vince Carter in a Kings uniform turn back the clock and look like he was in his mid to late 20s in his prime again. We'll play that audio from that game for you later on in today's show. Plus, if you weren't keeping track of all of the news regarding the NBA trying to find out a way to complete this season, some news has come out about a potential site, a neutral site to conclude the season. They're also talking about potentially shortening the regular season to 70 games and then completing the playoffs just after that. We're going to discuss that more in detail on tomorrow's Locked On Kings podcast. So I'm aware of that news. If you want to research it, look it up yourself and get prepared for it, we will again be talking about that on tomorrow's Locked On Kings. Today, though, for our final performance evaluation, like I said, we're focusing on the job of Vlade Divac and the Sacramento Kings front office. Not the most popular amongst the majority of Sacramento Kings fans, honestly, I would say, at least the vocal majority on social media and those who are voicing their opinions, whether it's on a podcast, in an interview, listening to the radio and calling in, active on social media, or just booing at a game. There are a lot of Kings fans that are still frustrated with the front office and probably will be frustrated with the front office for some time until the playoffs are finally reached and until the team continues to be moving in the right direction, which we thought that time was going to be this season coming into the year as the Kings were coming off of their best season since 2006 coming into this 2019-2020 season. So a lot of people frustrated with the front office because of where the Kings are at, because of some of the moves that this front office has made, all the way going back, of course, to the Luka Doncic draft, leading into the moves that the Kings made this summer and how the majority of them have not ended up working out. So we're going to look at it all. We're going to discuss it all. And this one's going to be very different from the rest of the performance evaluations that we've done. We're just going to look at the good versus the bad from this season in regards to the front office and Vlade Divac. And we'll try and mix in the excuses as well and ultimately come to a final decision about whether or not they've done a good job, whether or not they deserve to continue to be in control of the Sacramento Kings. Of course, I will voice my own opinion on that. If you want to share your opinion, please do. Best place to do that is on Twitter, at MattGeorgeKHDK is how you can reach me. You can also email me. I receive emails after every single podcast episode. I'm so thankful for those private conversations that I'm able to get involved in there. So email me at any time as well. mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. So we're going to look at the good and the bad, but let's start with the bad. And for many people, I understand this list is going to be a lot longer than the good, and that's to be expected for a team that hasn't made the playoffs in over 14 years. But looking at the bad, just starting with the end of last year, so that includes last offseason, last summer, the season up to the point it stopped, and where we are at today. So starting with the bad, the first thing I have in the bad list is the Kings firing Dave Joerger and then setting high or immediate expectations for Luke Walton. Now, I'm not saying that hiring Luke Walton was a bad thing and a bad decision, although I know some people do feel that way. What I'm saying is, firing Dave Yeager, who was the most successful Kings coach since Rick Adelman, after your best season in years, even though he was not exactly the most well-liked amongst members of the front office and certainly members of the Kings locker room, making that move, firing him, I felt was the wrong choice. I think Dave Yeager had a good idea of what this team needed to be done or needed to be doing. Even if he wasn't well-liked, he at least was respected, and the players liked the way that they were playing under him, even if they didn't like him personally. But you know what? They're not there to be friends. They're there to get results, and they're there to win basketball games. And ultimately, even though the end of the 2018-2019 season wasn't the best, the Kings did not finish strong, certainly not as strong as they started the season. They were still moving in the right direction. It was still overall a positive feeling and a positive season when it was all said and done. But you still elect to move on from Dave Yeager. Why? Because you didn't feel that he was going to be the one to take you to that next level. Okay, so you bring in Luke Walton, who we know has a connection with Vlade Divac, is one of Vlade's personal friends from their playing days. And immediately you put on his shoulders that this is the guy to take us to that next level. This is what Vlade's saying immediately, even before he hires Luke Walton. Vlade, in his press conference, after firing Dave Yeager, said, "We appreciate Dave, we love what he's doing, but we felt that he took us as far as he could have taken us. Now we need someone to come in to take us to that next level." So no matter who you were hiring, doesn't matter what name, what guy you brought in, you had already set the expectation that this coach was going to come in and take us to that next level, take us to the playoffs immediately. That's where we are expecting to go. So not only do I feel that firing Dave Yeager was a bad decision, I felt that putting those heavy expectations, even if it was the expectations of everybody else, verbally putting those expectations on your head coach, on your next head coach immediately, was not the greatest move. So we move on from that. The Kings hire Luke Walton. He says the right things in his press conference. Some people like it. Some people don't. Whatever. He's the head coach of the Sacramento Kings. We know he's a player's coach. We know players like him and want to play for him. So at least we have the hope of, okay, there'll be no more drama between the front office and the coaches. Vlade and Walton are going to be on the same page. All is fine and dandy there. So we go into offseason signings. And the Kings sign four names. The two biggest names that they sign, Trevor Ariza and Dwayne Dedmon, both absolute flops, especially Dwayne Dedmon. Now, I will be the first one to say, and I know there are going to be a bunch of fans that are with me here, we all thought that Dedmon was, on paper, a fantastic signing for the Sacramento Kings. Love this move. He fits in perfectly with what the Kings are trying to do. You have Marvin Bagley play the four. Dwayne Dedmon's going to play the five. He'll stand on the perimeter. He'll hit outside shots. He can protect the rim. He can rebound. He's not super slow, so he can run up and down the floor if needed. He fits every single category. And for the most part, the Kings did overpay for him, but they didn't end up paying huge contracts to other free agents potentially available, like, say, for example, Al Horford, who we knew the Kings were rumored to be interested in, although I'm sure all of us would prefer that the Kings have signed Al Horford based off of how the whole Dwayne Dedmon situation went. But overall, we thought, you know what, Dwayne Dedmon was a fantastic move. I celebrated the move. Almost all of us in Sacramento celebrated the move when it was done, regardless of the dollar sign. Well, that was an absolute failure. Dedmon shot terribly while he was here. And yes, I do give some sympathy to Dedmon, seeing as how literally one game into the season, his entire role with the Sacramento Kings changed. But even so, he still was missing wide open threes that you expected him to hit and you expected him to get playing with De'Aaron Fox in the Kings offense. And he was missing everything. Dwayne Dedmon was a disaster here. Trevor Ariza, not nearly as bad as Dwayne Dedmon, but you overpaid for someone who was past their prime, and he really didn't do much. He took bad shots. Defensively, he was fine. He wasn't great. He wasn't bad. But both those signings together, the two biggest names that you went out and got to add to Luke Walton's system, to add to what the Kings were trying to do and bring this team to the playoffs, both these veteran pieces absolutely flopped. And you have to put a lot of pressure on the Kings front office for making those decisions and those not working out. Now let's talk about the Buddy Hield contract, specifically the dark side to the Buddy Hield contract, because there's a dark and a light side to Buddy Hield's contract. The light side you'll find in the good category, but the dark side is in the bad. Ultimately, the Kings paid a lot of money for a shooting guard who is one of the best shooters in the NBA, but has been a little bit exposed this year as a very one-dimensional player. On top of that, he has now proven to provide some potential attitude and locker room issues. Now, those are things you can absolutely get over and work through. There are plenty of egos in the NBA. Buddy Hield is not alone here. However, you just paid a lot of money and committed yourself big time to a player who is now revealing to be maybe a bit of a problem off the floor, and then his game beyond three-point shooting might be a little bit of a problem on the floor. That's the dark side of the Buddy Hield contract that the Kings have to live with. Here's an issue that I know is going to be on pretty much every Kings fan's bad list. How Sacramento and how Vlade Divac and this Kings front office have handled Harry Giles. It still, to me, makes no sense why the Kings didn't pick up his final option or his fourth year, I believe, on his rookie contract. Makes zero sense to me. They absolutely should have. Wouldn't have hurt their cap very much. They would have had control over him. And on top of that, he would have been a restricted free agent after that year was up, so they could decide then if they wanted to let him go or match whatever offer. All their power that they had over Harry Giles, they gave up for basically no reason. I don't understand why they handled the Harry Giles situation the way that they do. I'm not going to go into more detail than that because personally, it just baffles me. I don't get it. I know that Harry Giles is overhyped, and I'm not afraid to say that. I feel that Harry Giles is overhyped, but I also feel that Harry Giles is a good player and a good project and someone who has shown enough for me and for the Kings to believe that he can be, at worst, just a solid role player off the bench. I think we put too much expectation into Harry Giles as a potential starter and the final piece to the Kings starting five alongside Marvin Bagley. I think he's capable of playing starting minutes when needed, because of injury maybe, but Harry Giles to me hasn't shown enough to prove that he's a starting big in the NBA. But also, neither has Marvin Bagley. So that's not just a dig on Harry Giles, that's just me saying I look at Harry Giles, I look at his overall game, and I think good player, can certainly help the Kings, great energy guy, well-loved by the fans and his teammates in the locker room. But he's not going to be the missing piece in the Kings finally winning a championship. He's just not. But he can help them win a championship for sure. But how the Kings handled that Harry Giles debacle, to me, is just terrible. Absolutely terrible, and definitely belongs on the bad list. Moving on, continuing with the bad list, the Kings have clearly moved backwards. And the one stat column that's most important here is wins and losses. And the Kings went from a 39-win season, feeling really, really good about themselves, to, yes, technically they're more in the playoff hunt right now when this season ended than they were last season when they'd won more games. But even though they're in the playoff hunt, they've still lost a lot more games at this point than they had last year. The Kings have moved backwards in the win column where it really matters, and that's a bad thing. Finally, it feels like the Kings had or just showed an inability to build on last season's momentum. You established this identity as a run-and-gun team. First half of the season, no one could stop you. You ran everybody out of the building. Second half of the season, teams adjusted to you, and you weren't mature enough and experienced enough to handle that. Okay, take the summer, learn how to handle that, even if it's under a new head coach, and come out, run teams out of the building again, and when they adjust to you, you adjust to their adjustments and beat them. That's what every good team on the planet does. Make them play your game, and when they adjust to you, you adjust to them again, and you beat them. I didn't feel like that was what the Kings did this year. I feel like the Kings changed themselves to become a better overall basketball team, or at least that was the hope from Luke Walton, which in theory is a good thing. But they took away their identity, their one strength. They did not do it enough, and it resulted in them taking a step backwards in the win column, but not building upon their momentum that they established with De'Aaron Fox and the Kings' speed and pace the season before. So that's my bad list. Now let's look at the good list. First off, in shining red ink, signing Rashawn Holmes. Now I'm also going to add Corey Joseph to this because Corey Joseph hasn't been bad. He hasn't been great. He's been fine. He's come in and done what I expected him to do. He's been a good defensive guard. And I thought when De'Aaron Fox went down, Corey Joseph stepped up nicely and was a great piece for the Kings and did about as best as or as good as you could expect him to do filling in for an injured star. But Rashawn Holmes has been an absolute home run for the Kings. So much of a home run that I'm willing to forgive the Dwayne Dedmon and Trevor Ariza failures just because of the Kings' ability to sign Rashawn Holmes, if they are able to keep him. Rashawn Holmes went from, hey, maybe he can add some nice competition and bench depth to, this is the future starting center for the Sacramento Kings, and the Kings want to keep him around for as long as possible. I firmly believe that. Now, I don't know Vlade personally. I've had some conversations with him. I've been in his press conferences. But if I could sit down in a room and ask him one question, I'd look him right in the eye and say, what are your long-term plans for Rashawn Holmes? Are you ready right now to commit to him as the long-term center of the Sacramento Kings? Because I think you should. Rashawn Holmes is fantastic for what the Kings are trying to do. And in the modern NBA game, the center is important, but it doesn't have to be a multi-million dollar star player. It's not necessary anymore. Rashawn Holmes fits the bill. He fits alongside De'Aaron Fox and the main Kings pieces. He rebounds, he blocks shots, he can run the floor, he can attack around the basket. Rashawn Holmes has the full package of what the Kings need at that position. Commit to the man. If you are able to commit to him and re-sign him long-term, right now I will tell you, I forgive the Dwayne Dedmon signing failure and the Trevor Ariza signing failure. And heck, I even will forgive some other mini failures sprinkled along the way. So Rashawn Holmes, absolute bright spot for me. Another good thing, the bright side of the Buddy Hield contract. Remember, when we saw the news that the Kings and Buddy Hield had agreed to a deal, we were thrilled because the Kings went out and did what they said they were going to do. They financially committed to a young player that made sense for the Kings long term. On top of that, they managed to get him for less money than what he was asking and what he was expected to get from the Kings, and we know how often this organization has to overpay. So you do that, and you add player incentives to encourage the player to continue to give his all and play as best as he can so that he can ultimately earn more money on his contract. It was a win-win-win on all angles. So the bright side of Buddy Hield's contract is that the Kings were able to get the job done. Guaranteed money was less than expected, but the player incentives are in there to reward him for his individual accomplishments and for the team's success, which I think was great. I also want to give a lot of credit to Vlade Divac and the Kings front office because they've gotten really good at this, and they've had to do it a number of times over the past few seasons. And there's a glass half full and glass half empty way to look at this. The Kings were able to move on from Trevor Ariza and Dwayne Dedmon's contracts and those failures of signings for pieces that actually helped them. Getting Kent Bazemore for Trevor Ariza, I thought, was an absolute home run. You know how I love Kent Bazemore. I want Kent Bazemore to finish his career in a Kings uniform. That's how highly I think of him. Now, I also believe that I'm over-exaggerating a little bit, but I love Kent Bazemore. I love what he brings. I've always loved his game. I think he's fantastic here in Sacramento, and I want him around long-term. And the fact that you got that for Trevor Ariza, who was doing virtually nothing, and you didn't expect to be around with the Kings for longer than a handful of seasons, great. On top of that, you trade Dwayne Dedmon back to the Atlanta Hawks, and you arguably get the two best players in that deal in Jabari Parker, who didn't end up really playing or working out in Sacramento, and Alex Len, who, nice role player, who's come in and provided the Kings with great minutes and helped them win some games before the season stopped. The fact that the Kings were able to take those two terrible contracts and move on from them so they're no longer on their books, they're done, they're off their hands, that's a massive win for me. And then on top of that, to be able to get pieces back that you like and not having to ship off other good young talent or ship off draft picks for no reason. I think that was an absolute win for the Kings front office. And they did that before a few years ago when the George Hill signing didn't work out. They paid him a lot of money as well, ended up trading him away, got his money off the books. So the glass half full look at it is, hey, you made a bad signing, but you got it off your books, you got rid of it, and it didn't kill you to do so. The glass half empty look at it is, well, you shouldn't have made the bad signing in the first place. So I understand both outlooks. Another good thing, there is no sign of any front office over-involvement or any drama. That's a breath of fresh air after the Brandon Williams and Dave Yeager saga from last year or last season. It's nice to not hear anything from Vlade, anything from Vivek, anything from the Kings front office other than the expected comments and the expected interviews from every now and then. Overall, it's I believe that Luke Walton and Vlade Divac are on the same page, even if the team isn't living up to their expectations. And finally, I guess it's a good thing that the Kings were technically in the playoff race, and overall they were playing really well before the season was shut down. So at least we ended on a good note, or have seemingly ended on a good note, instead of a bad note. Finally, let's look at the excuses. Two major excuses for the Sacramento Kings. The first one is, of course, the injuries. Injuries to Marvin Bagley, Bogdan Bogdanovic, De'Aaron Fox, and Rashawn Holmes. Those injuries are a legitimate excuse, and I'm not going to take those injuries away from the Sacramento Kings because those are four very important pieces that have spent time hurt. Marvin Bagley has barely played this season. Rashawn Holmes went down for 20-plus games. De'Aaron Fox went down for 20-plus games. Those are huge pieces to lose, and still the Kings were in the playoff hunt. So I give them credit for that. That is a legitimate excuse. What I feel is not a legitimate excuse is that this is your first year with a new head coach. Yes, I understand that it's a transitional period and adjustments have to be made. But overall, you put the expectation that whichever coach is going to come in is going to help take this team to the next level immediately. You set that expectation yourself. So you can't now backtrack and say, well, we need time to adjust. It's a new thing. It's a transition. It's tough. It's hard. Of course it's tough. Of course it's hard. But you told everybody that this was the move you needed to make to get the team to the playoffs. And look, they went backwards. So now you can't say or expect sympathy for the time that is required for a new head coach and their team to gel and get on the same page. Even though we did see progress in that sense, the Kings looked a lot more cohesive when the season ended than they did when the season began. So my conclusion, again, injuries are a legitimate excuse. The coach adjustments are not. Vlade and the Kings, I feel that front office does not deserve to be fired, but they should have a very short leash going into next season. We were all wrong about Dwayne Dedmon, but they still are the ones that have to get it right. We can be wrong. They can't. And finally, they need to make the right signings, the right trades, and the right draft picks. And that doesn't mean signing stars or drafting stars or trading for a star. They just need to make the right moves this summer and perform and excel pretty quickly next season, or we're going to see some change coming. I genuinely believe that. Wow, I went long there. Talked about a lot of things, covered a lot of stuff, but it's your turn now to respond to me. Let me know if you agree or disagree, want to add on to anything I say, at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter, or you can email me, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. Before we get to Vince Carter's fantastic game against the Cleveland Cavaliers in 2017, I got to tell you right now about our great sponsor here on the Locked On Kings podcast. That is Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. Built Bars are tasty, man. It's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They have 16 amazing flavors, 8 chocolate nut flavors, and 8 chocolate nut-free flavors. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft, and they're easy to chew. And I made the mistake of introducing these bars to my in-laws, my sister and my brother-in-law specifically. They came in and, with the help of my wife, decimated the remainder of my Built Bar stash. They even stole my last mint brownie bar that I was looking so forward to eating this morning. I'm a little bit bitter about it. I really am a little bit bitter about it. But you know what? I'll forgive them. I'll go online and I'll order a new shipment of these Built Bars. They are that good. They're delicious. And on top of that, they are healthy. Built Bar is great for the health-conscious guy or girl. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, but high-protein and high-fiber. I told you about the mint brownie bar, this bar that I love so much. Just take a listen to this. 15 grams of protein in this thing. Only 110 calories, but 4 grams of sugar and 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing. How about the peanut butter brownie bar, which is my wife's favorite bar? 20 grams of protein, 170 calories, 3 grams of sugar, 3 grams of net carbs. Both of them delicious, and those are just two of their 16 incredible flavors. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Only have a few more games in this series of best games in Sacramento Kings history with a little bit of a twist. We're looking at the best games from each season from 2010 all the way up to this season that just abruptly ended, the 2019-2020 season. The purpose of this series is to remind everybody that even though this decade overall has been filled with a lot of losing and a lot of pain for Kings fans, there have been some fun wins and some great victories along the way. And this game, you talk about fun. I love this game. I still go back and watch this game when I can. I remember I have own personal videos of the crowd from this game inside the Golden 1 Center. One of my favorite games that I've ever gotten the chance to watch live. The 2017-2018 season, Sacramento's first full season without DeMarcus Cousins, was overall a struggle for the Kings, who won just 27 games. However, it was still a special season for many Kings fans, as we had the privilege of watching Vince Carter take the floor in Kings purple every night. And no night was more special than Wednesday, December 27th, when Sacramento welcomed LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers into the Golden 1 Center. Vince Carter put on an absolute show in this game. He scored a season-high 24 points, leading the young Kings to a statement 109-95 victory over the Cavs. The energy inside the Golden 1 Center was palpable, and for that night, fans were able to put aside the frustrations of the season and just enjoy a great performance from a future Hall of Famer. The G-Man Gary Gerald, Kings radio announcer, had a fantastic call of the whole contest, and he does a fantastic job capturing and describing what the night was like, witnessing Vince Carter turn back the clock and put on a show.
Here comes LeBron in transition, stutter step, drives in the line, easy money, and he is fouled. Three-point opportunity. This one could get out of hand very quickly and very early. We're less than 4 minutes in, and the Cavaliers, as we anticipated, they're looking to make a statement here in the early going. They've hit 4 of 7. They've had a couple of quick hitters rolling right to the rack, and the Kings have not been able to defend with any degree of success. Donovich screen and roll, feeds Willie right to the rim, and he scores with the left hand. That's a nice adjustment on the bounce that time on the entry pass from Bogdanovich by Willie Cauley-Stein. Went to the left hand and got it to the rim for the score. Makes it 15-10. LeBron now going to initiate on this sequence. Got Cauley-Stein on him. He fakes the probe. Now he loses the ball. Dives to the floor. Gets it back. Loses it again. Cauley-Stein comes up with it. Throws it ahead. Buddy Buckets wide open. Two-hand flush for the lead from Buddy Hield. It's 26-25 Sacramento. 30 seconds left in the opening quarter. 27-26 as the lead goes back to the Cavaliers. We're down to 2 seconds to go. Bogdanovich got to create. He shoots to beat the buzzer. He scores from the deep right wing. Bogdan Bogdanovich, you talk about being cool. He's got ice in his veins. That was sweet. Here's a pass broken up. Garrett Temple comes away with it. Lead pass ahead to Cauley-Stein. Dumps it out the heel. Left wing three on the way. Come to their feet as he buries another triple. Double-digit advantage for Sacramento after the Cleveland turnover. Just their third. It's 57-45. Heal almost lost it. Finds Carter. Long three. Score the triple. That was flirting with 30-foot range. 9 points off the bench from Vince Carter. It's now 60-47 in favor of Sacramento. For the Kings, are now 7 of 13 from downtown. Zebo short on a 21-22-foot attempt. LeBron with a long lead-out pass to Love, runs to a designated spot, and he buries another three. That's taking advantage of Zach Randolph, and that's going to be a major concern for the Kings here. LeBron into the front court, gives to Smith, wheels, fires for three, score it, and the Cavaliers have taken the lead just like that. 4 3-pointers in the first 3 minutes and 4 seconds of the second half, and Cleveland is now on top, 67-66. LeBron now back and bogey down, quick spin, goes to the rack, two-hand power flush by LeBron James. He says, young man, I still got some bounce in these aging legs. 14 points for LeBron. Carter gets it now, working on Jay Crowder. Is he going to try to isolate? No, he throws it out to Bogey. Quick reset to Carter. Quick spin, baseline. Pump fake, reaches up and under. Look at that magic on that reverse by Vince Carter. A season-high 11, and Teron Liu says that should not happen. We're going to talk about it. A five-point Kings lead. An 8-0 Sacramento run answering back after that barrage of three-pointers had given the Cavs the lead. 1.3 seconds to go. Heel breaks forward, wiggles toward the paint, popping on top, and going cross-court, Carter. From the corner, tough angle. He hits the triple. Oh, my goodness. Vince Carter. Flashing the all-star form of a youthful Vincenity. With a buzzer-beating corner three, we were looking at it, and Jason, he was a foot and a half toward the baseline on the angle behind the backboard.
Impossible angle. He could see the rim, but he saw more of the back of the backboard, the basket stanchion, the shot clock. I don't know how he made that.
Bill gives it up to Carter, dumps it inside. Cauley-Stein to the rim for a two-hand jam. Vince Carter is splashing all-star form in his 20th season at age 40. What a night. He's doing it at all ends of the floor. Got a deflected pass here now that was intended for Korver. Goes out of bounds. Cavaliers maintain possession. Carter tonight, 7 of 8 from the floor, including 3 from downtown. He has 17 points. He has 4 rebounds. He has 3 assists. He has been barking instructions. He's been setting screens. He's been deflecting balls. He is doing a little bit of everything. Can't get the least bit tentative here. You just have to play smart. The Carter, wheels, he fires for 3. He's 4 for 4 from downtown. Vince Carter turning back the hands of time. Makes it 101-87. He now has 20 points in the ballgame. Second year player, Buddy Hield, gives it up to Carter. Carter now digging back on Kyle Korver. Gonna post him up. Up and under, scoop, scores! Carter may have missed the three badly in front of the Cavaliers bench on the last possession, but this time he just took Kyle Korver inside and abused him. Vince Carter, who's had a terrific night, now working against Jay Crowder. Digs back toward the paint, doubled briefly by LeBron. Man-to-man, 3 in the clock, shakes, spins, fall away in the air. He scores another one! Vince Carter is just amazing tonight. 24 points. Kings lead 106-92. He's hit 10 of 12 from the floor. George Hill has picked up his dribble. Gives to Cauley-Stein. Quick reset. Back to Hill. Now to Carter. Carter against Crowder. Behind the back. Bounce pass to Hill. Feeds it out on the wing. Garrett Temple wheels. Fires for 3. Magical moment at Golden 1 Center. As with the shot clock was down to 1 second. Garrett Temple knew it. Had to fire it. Scored it. Kings have their biggest lead of the ballgame with 2:20 to go at 109-92. I'll tell you what. These are the moments you live for, no matter what team you happen to be a fan of or a broadcaster for. When you have this type of electricity in a building, and for a young team that struggles every night it goes on the floor, has won only 11 times this year, this is extraordinary. And we're not breaking here, we're just keeping it at Golden 1 Center and savoring the electricity in this building. We said coming in tonight the Kings would have to play virtually a perfect game to be competitive. Well, here they are shooting 54%. They've made 12 from downtown. They've gotten 24 game-high points from a 40-year-old, 20-year veteran in the NBA. I'm scratching my head, and I'm loving it. Well, Carter got a magnificent ovation when he was taken out in the final seconds in Toronto. And listen now here at Golden 1 Center. Now the hair on the back of my neck is standing straight up. Advance into the front court and dribble out the final seconds. Well, the Cavaliers had had their way with the Sacramento Kings. In recent years, they had won 5 of the last 6. In the last 22 meetings, the Kings had just 6 wins. Tonight, they turned things around after a nightmare last night in Los Angeles. And your final score finds Sacramento victorious by 14 at 109-95. It is the biggest margin of victory this season for Dave Yeager's ball club. So savor that, Kings fan. My goodness.
24 points on 10 of 12 shooting, including 4 of 5 from three-point range for Vince Carter in the victory. And if that wasn't impressive enough, Sacramento held LeBron James to just 16 points, shooting only 35% from the field. Of course, his short time in Sacramento won't really be remembered in the incredible career of Vince Carter, but that season, having his number 15 on the white, black, and purple Kings jerseys was great for us fans, and of course, great for jersey sales. Oh boy, I am way over time. Thank you to everybody for listening to today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. Again, if you want to respond to anything that I said about Vlade Divac and the current Kings front office, that performance evaluation, it is fair game for you to pick apart and add your comments too. Best place to do that is on Twitter, @MattGeorgeKHDK. You can reach me there. Or you can email me privately at any time, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. That's saclocalmedia.com. I look forward to hearing more from you there. Again, on tomorrow's Locked On Kings podcast, we will have the final two games of this series, the best game from the 2018-2019 season and the best game from this season, 2019-2020. On top of that, I will tell you more in detail and talk a little bit more about this 70-game regular season proposal from the Sacramento, or rather from the NBA, to at least how to complete this season that has been cut short, what that would do to the Kings' playoff chances, the potential of the Kings playing at a neutral location for the remainder of the year. We'll still get our playoffs in. We'll talk about all of that on tomorrow's podcast as well, so be sure to tune in for that. Until next time, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.